Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Here we go. What is this, episode four?
That's episode four, Todd. That right there is a black, that's right there was a black cherry lime, blue Labatt blue seltzer. I'm pouring it right here. I got the ice.
Nice.
You know, I'm pouring it right from the nice can. I mean, talk about packaging.
You got the classic Yuengling green bottle.
Low carb, one carb or some shit.
There you go. It's keto.
You know
keto
I mean?
Alcohol.
That's the whole point, dude. That's why when I trained in the first fight with Smitty, I only drank vodka soda, man. I actually not drinking beer. You just drink the seltzers and stuff. Just pounding right now.
And then you can fight better. Speaking of fights,
what a
Christ almighty.
Fights.
We rented the Tyson Jones fight, and everybody was clowning it beforehand, dude. Everybody on social media was like looking at the rules. No exhibition fight. Was this going to be a slap boxing match? You know, no knockouts. They're going to stop it if somebody gets cut. Like all this crazy shit. That could have been a better event.
They figured it out, and they, you know, there's a lot of different fights on the internet right now. You got Rough and Rowdy. You have other stuff. You have you got the Jake Paul guys, you got the YouTube homies, the KSI, you got street beefs. Like there's a lot of internet, sanctioned fighting going on right now. You got Bare Knuckle, the B2 series, plus UFC, plus Bellator. And they just said, how about this? We're going to internet the fuck out of this with a monster budget.
It was
because
better.
The budget was uncontrolled. First of all, they have to rent out the Staples Center. That event was at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
Then you got to pay Snoop Dogg, Mario Lopez. You got to pay Izzy. You go with Jim Gray.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard there.
Sugar Ray Leonard. That's just the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Not including all these fighters. You know, Mike. And I think it's like a Mike Tyson production. I think this is his gig.
He acted like he was the owner. Legends.
And it was, look at this, the production company, I believe, is whatever, it's under his shit. So I was like, when I was reading the credits or whatever, or at the end, I was like, this is Mike Tyson put this together? This guy's a goddamn genius. Not only that, but he also has like a weed farm. It's about to be the Disneyland of weed farms or whatever. It's like Weed Disneyland is what's coming in Palm Springs or something.
I mean,
he has like a ranch.
For him to come back and fight like he did, being that he's now getting super rich again.
And he took it easy. He sandbagged hard. And we all know. He barely threw any shots to the head. Because why? Because Roy Jones Jr. would have died. That's why.
Yeah. I think he could tell. Because he hit him good early on. And I think he could probably hear the come out of Jones's mouth every time he hit him. So he's like, I didn't make this last a little bit because I'm the main event and I want to put on a show, so I don't want to knock him out too fast.
Yeah.
That
sounds like you really interviewed him. I feel like we really cut to him.
Yeah, yeah. But Roy Jones fucking ran and grabbed. That was his strategy. I'm going to run. I'm going to turn an angle and just run every time he starts to go off. And then when he gets close to me, I'm just going to wrap him up. That's going to be my strategy.
It was a good plan because Tyson was hitting, first of all, his core, his side, his core muscles. Then my man was on side-to-side duty hard. That is so hard to do.
Mm.
And then he was doing the switching of the stance of his feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was that early shot. He hit him with a hook, and you can hear that mitt just smack against Roy Jones' face. And you just know. And then it was like a surprise on Roy Jones. He was like, oh. Like, this is real.
Yeah.
And then that's what I felt like after that. Tyson went into more of a cruise control because he's like, I'll bang this kid's ribs up. And then everybody posting the rib videos was funny as shit. Like barbecue pit masters pulling the bones out and shit like that of the meat.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I got to give it to Jones. I mean, he kept his head about 8 feet away from him at all times. So I don't think he could throw very many head punches. He had that. He would just slide that left arm out, and he would peel his head like it was almost like the full length of his body away. Yeah. It was like 6 feet away at all times. But I get it. I can't imagine what it feels like for Mike Tyson to hit you.
Even at 54. I mean, we're talking about the greatest, probably the greatest heavyweight in my eyes. I don't care. I know.
The best.
Depends on what generation you're from, but obviously my generation, in my eyes, I mean, you're talking about the best, the greatest fighter of all time. Like, I feel like that. I feel like, again, my genre, Gen Z, we're not fucking around. We had Tiger Woods. We had Jordan. We had Mike Tyson. We had the Kurt Gibson home run with the fist pumps. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The last thing to go for a fighter is his power. And that's, I mean, you're talking Mike Tyson. Like, it reminded me of when Evander Holyfield was in his prime and he was still a heavyweight champ and he fought George Foreman and Foreman was 44. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, like 97 or 98, whatever.
It was like you could tell, like, there's no way Foreman's going to win this fight, but he hurt Evander twice. Like, he still had that power. So Tyson still had that power, but he wasn't fighting some young 30-year-old. He was fighting another dude who's like 51. And Roy Jones looked doughy. Like, Mike come out looking hard.
Yeah, Jones, you know what, though? Doughy. Overall, how entertaining and awesome this was. I mean, the graphic work and the background with the names rolling, you know, not having a crowd somehow really benefited this, so no one got in the way of this clean-ass production.
I love fights without a crowd because I can hear the corner men.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I do. You're right. As a jiu-jitsu experienced person who you get to train with people and get lucky, I do enjoy hearing that just from having the a little bit of know-how. I mean, I'm a white belt, probably whatever the next
but
one is.
But you know
at
what
best,
they're talking about.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that, but I feel like they could have slid a comic in there.
Yeah.
Fucking take out one of the musical acts in the middle there, slide in some stand-up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Kevin Hart come out and do 20. If you got Snoop rapping, why can't Kevin Hart stop in and do 15?
I like it.
Or a 10-minute spot.
But do you want to, that's like Zoom comedy. Do you want to be the comic that goes out and performs in front of no one?
Yeah, you're right.
It'd be different if the Staples Center was full.
But if you go into full crowd work, like you clown on the fights, you clown the ring, you talk about Snoop and the announcers,
right?
You really ham it up with the crowd work and then you write about what's happening.
Oh, it'd be electric.
You know, you could, I think someone can do it. Because I don't know who it was, but I saw a commercial for some kind of like, it was a special for drive-in stand-up, right? Like someone's doing stand-up in a drive-in with all the cars.
Right.
And this comedian in New York, he said, "Where's all my black cars at?" I fucking died, dude. And I'm saying, like, once you get put in the position, you can start writing material. Like, there's no way anybody, like, to me, when I heard him say that, "Where's all my black cars at?" I almost shit my pants.
Beautiful.
Because it's such a perfect transition from doing stand-up in a club with people. It could be done, I think, for sure.
Snoop Dogg, I thought, was perfect for it. Yeah. Because letting him set aside the other commentators, like, he was funny as fuck.
I could not get enough. And that, he was a big winner. You saw what he put on his Instagram?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Jared pulled up some stuff. Let's see.
Three years, 15 mil. That's way too cheap, dude.
What's 3 years, 15 mil?
He put up his Instagram on Snoop. Well, on Snoop, he's looking for a 3-year deal to announce events for 15 mil for 3 years.
Oh, shit. He's worth it. He's worth
it.
Yeah,
look at it. I mean, night. I saw 50 Cent today with the logo around Nate Robinson. And this is the thing, dude. This is the scariest part about deciding to fight publicly. The entire time for Rough and Rowdy, all I could think about was, I have to train so hard because there's going to be 100,000 people watching, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get fucking lit up and embarrassed.
Nate Robinson, who's the only motherfucker on the whole card who's never fought professionally before.
Because that first fight, that Ortiz fight, that was an unbelievable fight.
First fight was the best boxing match I've ever seen in my life. And here's the thing, like, everybody that was cussing this thing and fucking gaffing it off, listen, they figured it out. 8-round fights. It brought boxing back. It's way more exciting than I've ever seen boxing before in my life. Because even I remember Chael Sonnen explaining one time during a fight that boxing's boring because there's too many rounds. Like the human body can only go about 20, 25 minutes at full pace. So you're talking about usually the, like a 15 round title fight in boxing is like 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So they got to spend half of that saving energy.
There's no conservation like you would normally with another fucking 15 minutes of fighting.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you put me in a 90 second fight, mm-hmm. I'm going to be pretty fun to watch. Like I can go 90 seconds balls out. Like I can swing for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, basically that's kind of what you're doing to a professional fighter who's used to fighting minimum 12 rounds every fight. And you're going to put him in 8 3-minute rounds.
It's showtime. That kid Ortiz proved it. He was just banging. That kid is going to be good.
He's scary.
And the way they booked the fights, even the way they booked the fights, they had an unbelievable, whatever level of professional fight that was out the gate. Then they had the Nate Robinson joint, which was, again, and everybody thought he had a swinging puncher's chance. And I'm looking at Jake Paul's Instagram, and he's hitting the thing that goes away from you. It's on a pole, and it bends
around.
Like
the timing ball?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If you want to learn how unathletic you are, put on some gloves and try to hit one of those. And try to literally connect. I mean, hit it. Step back. When it comes back, time it. Bang. Hit it again. Hit it again. Hit it again. And then double jab it. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, and then move out of the way of it and then counter on it. You're not going to do it, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is hard as fuck. And I see Jake Paul working that thing. And I've already, you know, obviously his past fights. If you've never fought nobody, you have no business trying to fight anybody. I don't care how athletic you think you are. Have any business trying to fight somebody with any kind of fight experience. You're going to lose because you haven't sparred.
And I don't care how he looked in his own little circle of sparring, you know, like when it's a controlled environment, you look great, whatever. But, you know, it's even like in your first fight, Chris Lido, I remember him saying, you just never know, man, until you get in there and that bell rings. Like you don't know what's going to happen to your body and your brain.
I forgot everything.
Yeah.
All those years of fucking work and fighting, you know, all the sparring. And then that's what happened to Nate. Nate Robinson could come go. He could win 10 fights in a row from here.
Yeah, I mean, really if he trained. Were to come back in like second, third fight, he's an athletic freak. I'm sure he can figure it out. But his mind and body just shut everything down.
For years, though.
It went into panic mode, like.
And also, the difference in like, like the adrenaline, like, I'm going to kill you. You fucked my girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that intent where just like all the lactic acid is just exploding to your skin. Mm-hmm. Of every punch, like your life is on the line. As opposed to, this is just a sport, like you're playing tennis. But it was just awesome, man.
I was in love with the format. I mean, it was a huge show, which boxing missed, you know. Pay-per-view boxing, first of all, the fights, you know, like I said, we already talked about it. The fighters rest, have to fight. It's just good moments, but it's slow. And then all that, there's just a bunch of bullshit talking in between forever, in between fights. This was like, nope, let's have Snoop Dogg say something funny. Let's have Ray stumble around for a minute. And then, boom, let's go to some fucking juggernaut on the stage and let him do a special, you know?
Yeah, that was dope, man. I'm telling you, I think they could find a way for stand-up in there.
Yeah.
Hey, I checked out of my apartment today. It's a wrap.
It's gone, huh?
It's gone forever. Well, I have it until about midnight.
What happened with the, you had to get it ready for inspection?
Yeah, you know, you got to get an inspection. They got to come in because the deposit's a monster on that bitch. It's like 5 G's.
Mm.
So your boy needs that deposit back.
Knock on wood, I've never lost at a deposit.
You never have?
No, never.
I've gotten some. You know, one time I had to save a deposit. I had a pool that looked like it could have had fish in it. You know what? I don't know how long the statute of limitation is on this, but. One time, man, in the city, an undisclosed city location I lived in the state of California, or maybe Arizona for the story's sake, you know, but for the criminal activity I'm about to admit to. And we had a pool, dude. We were moving out, and I had to clean it. I was going to lose all the deposit, all $2,000, if I didn't clean this pool out. And I was like, fuck, what am I going to do with this pool, man? So I just said, fuck it. And I just emptied out the pool into the back alley. With all that algae, like it was green, but I mean, it's just like natural shit, you know? And I just kind of went down into the alley into the sewer system there.
Just natural
one of those
shit.
States, just natural algae, man. And I fucking emptied was out this the a whole house? Pool, dude. It could have been a house.
I mean, you had your own pool, so it was a
we
house?
We had a pool there. I had to clean it. It just emptied it out. And I just dumped it. I got one of those pumps that just pulls the water out of the pool.
Yeah.
Right into the alley and right into the fucking drainage system right there in the city. Pretty sure that's illegal or something. I'm pretty sure. Fuck but you know em. What, man? Fuck that. Because one time, when I lived in that same house, I went on tour with Fluffy. I left my Jeep parked in the back in front of the garage where we parked for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And two wheels were in the alley and out of nowhere, the city decided to start ticketing people in the alleys. And I had two wheels in the alley and only two wheels in my garage.
Oh, nice.
And they gave me like 12 tickets in a row when I was out of town, dude.
Really?
So then I could never afford to get my shit registered because I had to pay late fees and shit on like 12 or 15 parking tickets while I was out of town. These bastards out of nowhere, by the way, I've been parking there for years.
Uh-huh.
And so I just put dealer tags on that bitch for years, dude. I had a homie at the dealership and he gave me some dealer tags and I put them on my car and I rode dirty for 2 years flat. And then one day I was picking up my homie Gene Pompa, a comedian at LAX, and a motorcycle cop pulls me over at LAX. Runs my shit and he's like, yo, nice dealer tags. Fuck off. We're towing your shit. So I have to take whatever I have in my truck on me. And they towed my shit from LAX and I had to get on the train and head back down to fucking Long Beach.
Dude, I'm a pussy. My lease expired.
And I never got that car back.
Really?
No, because
fucking keep it.
Well, what happens is at the impound, they calculate the value of your car.
Yeah.
And then once they realize that you have racked up fees that exceed that value, like if you haven't picked your car up for a week and the combined value of the $80 a day in rent you have to pay in their lot plus the $300 or whatever it is to pick it up, if you get into the 2000s and they only say your car is worth $1,800, they just go on ahead and sell your car and they pocket the money.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any left over after your fees and their fees, they send it to you.
When I was in high school, I used to let all my cars just, I drive them until they broke down.
Yeah.
And then I just left them.
Wherever?
And, yeah. I never worried about them again.
It was a good run.
But they were like fucking $200 cars. You know, my dad just kept buying me like $200 cars all year.
Awesome.
They lived in Texas and I lived in Indiana. So he'd be like, yeah, here, your grandpa went and found you a $150 car. And then I would drive it until it just died. Then I would just leave it wherever
it died.
I love
that so much. $200 cars. So I used to, I worked at this restaurant in Yuma, Arizona, and I was young. I was like 16, 17, and the dudes I hung out with were all in their early 20s, 21, 22, 23. And one of the homies had this dude that used to smuggle weed back and shit, whatever else he had. But he was, you know, he had some gang shit going on in San Luis, Mexico, over, and, you know, he would bring weed, and they had a whole operation, dude. This is probably like, you know, this is like 25 years ago. They had a whole operation running, dude, with a body shop, like a fake body shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had all these cars in their land. And they fixed up a few. They had drug money. So they put, you know, this is like when people first started souping up like street cars, but Japanese style, not American muscle, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So these dudes, they just had like 20 front cars that were just on this property because they had a body shop. So what I would do, me and my other homies would do after we became buddies with them, like we'd go to Mexico with them. They'd have like 10, 30, you know, 10, 20K in them. And we'd go to clubs. They'd buy everything, all the food, you know, just rolling around, partying. I'm 17 in Mexico, just getting stupid, you know. And we'd go end up crashing out at their house out by the body shop. And then in the morning, sometimes we'd leave our car and we'd just drive one of their shop cars that they had there. And we would just go bang into shit and fucking run off curbs and bang into walls, bang into trash cans, like just dumb shit but belly laughing. Like when you're riding a car and you're just grinding a wall while shit flies off of the car. Because it didn't matter because it was a body shop and they had they didn't care if you messed up these cars.
Yeah.
Because they had to look like they're fuck. Yeah. So we would just do destruction in these cars, dude. We would go and get walls. We were jumping them we'd go out into the desert and jump the shit off of dunes and just do. I mean, I'm surprised no one got hurt and rolled it because we would be just trying to like keep your eyes open because you're laughing so hard. as you just break off the, all the parts and fuck the whole car up, dude. There's something so, because you can't do that in life. Like, you
no,
can't.
No, it's complete freedom. Those cars I had, I love, like, they, my dad was so smart on that. And plus, I had so much fun because I didn't worry about it. But, like, we one time, like, I had this shitty Datsun B210. And for those younger people, Datsun's now Nissan.
That's nice.
And it was the most basic car ever built. It's more basic than the Model T. And it was tiny. And this thing had, I had like rust. You could see through the side of it, like the entire door rusted through. And I remember this, my buddy Brad had a newer one that was like actually like well kept.
A newer Datsun B210?
Yeah. And this girl I was dating, she was a freshman. I was a senior, but she was like the hot freshman everybody wanted to date. So she was kind of uppity. And she came up where we were out like by the baseball field one day, and we had practice, and we were just hanging out before practice. And she come up there, and my car was parked there at the parking lot. And she looks over, and she goes, "Look at Brad's piece of shit! Like I would be embarrassed to drive that to school." And I was like, "That's my car." Like, but everybody ended up loving that car. We called it the Blue Flame because I could pop the clutch between third and fourth, and it would explode and shoot out a giant blue flame out the back. And then I was delivering pizzas one time, and I hit this curve.
B210?
Yeah, way out in the country. And I just slid right down this like 8-foot ditch and down on my side. And I'm just sitting there. I got pizza all over me. You know, I had 3 deliveries to do. So pizza's just everywhere.
What a piece of shit you are.
I crawl out through the window. I hand crank the window down to the passenger side door. And I crawl out. And there's before fucking cell phones. So I had to wait for a farmer to drive by. And then go to his house, call, and then he brought me back there, wait for the owner to come out there, and they call a tow truck. And all we did, me and the owner, pushed my car back to its wheels. That's how small it was. We just, like, tipped it over back on its wheels. And all they did with the tow truck was drag it by a cable back on the road, and then it started right up. And I'm like, all right, thanks. And I think the owner paid the guy, like, $40 just to pull back on the street. And I drove that the rest of the year, man.
No, like, fucking way.
It was
way.
Rippled. Like, I had to – every time I had to, like – it was like ram, you know, when you break into a house with your shoulder, like in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I had to get out of my car every time.
Fucking like Mel Gibson, Beverly Hills Cop. No, I'm sorry.
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Man. Danny Glover. I'm an asshole. I smoked a lot of weed today. You know what? I'm sitting here sipping on these blood orange black cherries.
I got this Yingling, dude. I got it. After these two Yingling.
Good beer, man.
But I'm going to Labatt Blue. These are my last two of the case.
Listen, and I know we love Labatt Blue, but you can, you know, we all have our other beers. Like, we got to drink, you know. They're not giving us money officially yet, so, you know, we have to like other stuff.
No, but I do like it because you left a case here when we got done with the shed, and I drank that shit.
Really good beer, dude.
Like, as far as like a light, I love it way more than Coors Light, and I'm not even doing an ad read, but I like it way more than like Miller Lite, Bud Light, Coors Light, any of those.
Me too. Like it's better. It's really good. It's a really good beer.
I'll put it in my top 5 light beers.
We want to name this episode B210 because I'm really pumped that you fucking got that car inside, even though you fucked up 3 different people's pizza order, which was, I hope those people weren't stoned because that's messed up on your part.
They probably were. There was this trailer court out on that road, and when a delivery came into the trailer court, you wanted it because everybody was so stoned when you got to this one trailer that they might tip you $40. Like, it was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking of top fives, I think we should hit it. We got another top 5 segment.
A couple top fivers.
Time for Todd and Sean's top 5.
Okay, not bad. We're also working on another one. We have a new vision for this one, so hopefully that's coming soon.
Listen, this is like clay artwork, man. We're just kind of molding, you know what
right?
I mean?
We're working on
doing
it.
Doing us, dude.
We had Cyber Monday shit to worry
Look
about.
Look at my hoodie, bro, by the way. Shout out Kelly's Tavern Neptune, bro.
That is a sharp fucking hoodie. Sleeveless. You cut the sleeves off.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think I'm going to start learning how to sew so I can make the edges look clean. You know what
really?
I mean?
Really? Not
like
a bad
nice idea. Seam right there. Make it look like this was actually ordered this.
Mm.
I just want to take my sleeveless game to the next level, I think. And that's what this is. That's what this is. This is a venture of me finding my sleeveless self in all seasons.
You should have your lady learn to sew.
Well, that's sexist, Todd.
I just went back to 1980.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, you know what, Todd? Well, when she learns how to, I let her start putting shoes on in the house. That's when, Todd, that's when she can start learning how to.
Hey, bring me my chicken pot pie and then put some seams on these fucking sleeves I cut off. Let's go.
Oh, man. You're a maniac, dude. People right. forget Uncle Todd is 40. How old are you? 40 what?
49. Me and Snoop.
49. You and fucking Snoop Dogg. When's your birthday, Todd?
June.
Oh, dude. Okay, let's talk about Patreon. We have to, before we get to top five real quick.
Okay.
Your birthday might fall on our party. We have to launch this by January.
Well, let's do it. Let's have the first right. party on my birthday weekend.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. That's just another reason to make this event better.
When the Patreon will be up soon, so keep an eye out. Obviously, the merch store is up. We're just coming off our Cyber Monday sale. Thank you for everybody who was on top of that. Everybody else missed out on the 20%, but go to the store and check it out. We're very proud of our merch so far. We got more to come. All right. Top fives.
Go buy stuff.
The first top five is top five movie villains.
This is a tough one, bro. And also, I want to say this. In our ever-working intro, can we put top five faves or something? Because I don't want people to, when they're listening, I don't want them to contest. These are just my favorites. I'm not in any way, a shape, or form an expert that tells
people. We're not critics.
I'm not a critic. I'm not trying to be like that. I'm not trying to say these are the top five because I'm wrong. And I, you know, there's movies that I haven't seen, I'm not invested in. You know, like, I'm not invested in Star Wars. So, is Darth Vader a fucking probably the best villain of all time? Yeah, but guess what? I'm not in tune with it.
These are villains that you feel like are in your top five. And again, we might have fucking 10 of these and we're weeding it down to five. Like, we might have others that we love equally as much. So, a lot of times you guys will hit us up on social media. You have those too. I'll just hit like because you're right. Yeah, it's one of my faves as well. So, these are just ones we think are worthy of our own list.
Yeah. You want to start?
Grab us something special.
You want to start with your top five villains?
I'll start this one. All right. I'm going to go with Hans Gruber.
Damn it.
Die Hard, right?
That was my first guy.
He's just the best, dude. That accent. He's such a smart ass. He's so cool all the time.
Hans Gruber, too.
And then when he had to slip from his regular accent and try to speak like American when Bruce Willis stumbled across him in the construction part of the office. And he was like, I don't know. I was just over there messing around. And he kind of sounded like an old timey gangster from the movies.
And then when he switches over the accent. Oh, yeah.
I have a machine
gun. That was my top five by far.
He might be the coolest movie villain of all time.
I try to expand on it. I didn't think you'd get that one. I should have known better. We're both in our 40s. We should have both.
Do you want to switch back and forth so I don't, like, because a lot of these we might grab up each other. Let's go back and forth. All right.
Okay, I'm going to go with Commodus from Gladiator. One of my favorites.
What an asshole.
I am vexed. I am very vexed.
The guy you love to hate.
Dude.
I love it.
I mean, that guy, he just didn't want the Senate to be involved, dude. Mm. I mean, he killed his father, Marcus Aurelius, dude.
Who was the most benevolent emperor that Rome had ever seen?
And let's be honest, that's probably one of the better words I've ever heard you use. So that's when you know
benevolent.
This is a legitimate conversation. You know what I mean? You know, he asked Gladiator. Wait, am I fucking this up? Marcus Aurelius?
No, that's
Marcus Aurelius is the boss. Is the guy
he's
that
the general
killed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then what's Gladiator's name? My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, Maximus was supposed to be the next king or the next emperor or whatever the fuck, dude. Commodus, though, what a guy.
He was all the way to the end.
When did he just died?
Creeping on his sister? Dude, come on. Yeah.
I mean, this guy was trying to have sex with his late sister.
Mm-hmm.
He killed his dad. He fucked over Rome's greatest general.
And then he tried to pussy fight Maximus, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have you stabbed where you're eventually going to bleed out before I even fight you.
Maximus, the savior of Rome.
For sure.
Where did you hear that?
Okay. I'm going to go with.
What do you got next?
Is it my turn next? Yeah, my turn next. I'm going to go with, This is kind of in the basic one, but I'm going to go basic on it. It's because I love this so much. The Terminator, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the original Terminator. I'll be back.
The guy that keeps coming after him.
Yeah. Like the, from the very first one.
Well, he wasn't the villain. The other guy was, right? The guy that, the cop that.
No, that was the second one. The very first one, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator was the bad guy.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he goes to the police station, and he drove his car to the front. I'll be back.
Yep.
And he fucking wiped out the entire police station. The dude was fucking ruthless.
That was bigger than John Wick type shit in its time.
It was incredible.
In its time.
And it was supposed to suck you. You know who was supposed to play that role? Instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I heard Jim Carrey.
It was supposed to be O.J. Simpson. That's no shit. Because he was big
fucking
then.
Fucking Juice.
Yeah.
The Juice.
He wasn't a very good
People
actor.
People don't understand that Juice was the... Oh.
He was the shit back in the
day. I always remember him from the thrifty car rentals.
I mean, he slaughtered his ex-wife. But anyway.
And then her boyfriend.
Who you got?
All right. Next up. This is probably my most mainstream one, but I had to go cartoon. I had to go Scar.
Oh, yeah.
Lion King and Scar.
He was an asshole.
He was a real piece of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was another guy. Killed his brother.
I mean.
Too many people killing their brothers, man.
It's just an age old. It's a story
Family
as
first,
old
dude.
As time. All right.
But, you know, he did a lot of bad shit. And he just. The camera angles and the darkness is just really made him shine as a villain.
He was a good villain. I'm going to go with Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds.
Okay, that was a really good one.
The dude to track down all the
Jewish folks.
Yeah.
He just fucking knew. Talk about a villain with a sixth sense.
He was creepy as fuck.
He was. His intelligence was creepy. His sixth sense was creepy. His entire life motivation was creepy. The guy was just a walking devil.
There's nothing worse than a guy who knows he's going to kill you, but will tell a brilliant story for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And bring it around full circle. You almost were like, you know what? I deserve to be murdered by you. Like, that was brilliant how you started that story, and I thought you were going here, and then you brought it all the way back around to I'm getting murdered. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow, I didn't
Genius.
See you dying at the end of this.
But, hey, I'm in now. I'm in it.
The guy's a screenwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's a really good one.
All right, here you go.
All right, next up, I'm going to go with Mugatu.
From
Zoolander.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Mugatu. He was just Will Ferrell is just an unbelievable bad guy. And just everything he does is so perfect. I don't know. I just don't. He's just such a perfect person. Will Ferrell, all his characters. And you know what I love about it? You know, let me say that people know what like when you're a good pitcher, people know what pitch is coming and they still can't hit it.
Right.
That's what Will Ferrell is.
Agreed.
He's a fucking Randy Johnson, dude. He's like, listen, this guy has got a heater, and we all know what's coming. We all know how this ends. There are no plot twists that we are not aware of. This is what it is, and here it comes. Try to fight it off. You can't. It's too fucking funny.
I love it.
That's exactly what Will Smith is. I'm sorry, Will Ferrell is. Will Smith, too. But Will Ferrell is just so good at what he does, and I know what's going to happen. But it's so good, I can't wait to watch it.
I'm gonna go along those same lines, and I don't remember the character's name, but it was Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder, playing his agent.
Yes, yeah, with the headset.
That was the most fucking beautiful switch I've ever seen in my life. Like Tom Cruise became that dude. Like I love that character so much. I will. Fucking murder you.
And I think that these actors, they find ways, like they have to, you know, because they probably take themselves so serious for so long, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And, you know, outside of people of like Will Ferrell, but like a Tom Cruise.
Right.
He probably takes, like, he has to get to a level of zen in his career and life and that he knows that all this shit don't matter. It's all bullshit to where he could even play the role to where it's that level of funny and just good. You know, yeah,
that would that must be the most fun type of role to play ever in a movie. But you know, I saw those him and Ben Stiller on a talk show once, and they were talking about like kind of the conceptual, I can't even speak.
Come on, hit the word.
Conceptualizing the character, and Tom Cruise is like, wait, I got a vision for what the guy. He's like, let me ask you this. I don't care what else you do, but can you give me big giant hands? And he's like, what? He goes, I just see him moving like with these big giant hands, and it's going to be a thing. Just trust me. So they just built around the big giant fat hands.
That was a good pick. Yeah. That was a nice. Okay. My next one, my last one was tough. Cause you know, you got Jaws, you got, you know, Cobra Commander, you got Lex Luthor. You have so many, but my favorite one I had to pick, Marcus from Training Day.
Ooh.
And I have to pick him because it's so well disguised.
Yeah.
For so long, that movie, until you go back and watch that movie again, is to where you can see where the deceit starts.
Yeah, because at first you're like,
setup starts.
First you're like, he's the cool one, man. He's the fucking coolest cop in the fucking beat.
Yeah,
this guy that's the guy. And then
this is the dude you want to be with.
Horrible piece of shit.
But then he ended up being a fucking murderous, you know, piece of shit that flopped both sides, who owed a lot of money, and he just took this young trainee off straight off the, you know, the beat, and just decided that he was going to be his pawn in this whole operation, and just straight put it in this guy's butt.
When he left Jake alone in the house with those homies, that was.
It's a nice cuete, Holmes.
I was fun.
It's a nice cuete, Holmes.
The second most tense scene in the history of film, maybe.
Yeah. Nah, I see his. I want to see yours, Holmes.
You ever had your shit pushed in?
Hey, that's a cute trick. That's a cute trick, rookie. Where'd you learn that? the Academy? Hey, look. Just kidding. It's not loaded. Yeah, Noel Gonzalez really put his... He stamped himself as an actor in that scene.
Yeah, you know? He was great.
Yeah, that's just one of the best. That's one of my favorite villains of all time. Just because once you watch it a handful of times, you really get to see just how calculated of a cocksucker this guy really is.
I'm going
to
put a stamp on it. All right. My last one, I'm going to say this guy's name wrong, but it's Anton Chigurh is the character's name, I think. He's the bad guy from No Country for Old Men.
Oh yeah, yeah, the foot dragger with the fucking with the gang.
With the cattle air gun killing thing. Yeah,
that's guy, one of the more creative murderers of movie. You know, the last 30 years of movies is this dude with that.
Was that a Coen's brother? Was that a Coen Brothers movie?
I don't think so. Okay, I could be wrong, but sure I don't feel like it is. It doesn't feel like it is.
The fact that was his weapon of choice was fucking like, who, that's one of those details that makes a movie, like,
yeah,
oh, what,
that, the foot, the hair, the fucking, the way he talks,
it's the best.
Goddamn, how those Texas police investigate him, the weariness of the desert, and just that calm, like, creepy peace that you could feel, you know, when you know something's wrong.
Josh Brolin, just this badass country fuck ex Marine that just, come on. That movie had everything. All right.
Yeah.
What's your last one?
Also, I think that was it. That was five. But also, I think we should close these segments with that was the top five or whatever.
Yeah. All right. We should get a closer.
I picked Hans Gruber as well.
Okay.
So that was my five. I mean, I did have Jaws in there. You know, I wanted to go with somebody that didn't talk, and I had Cobra Commander also because that was a big deal to me as a kid.
Oh, Joe. But all right.
We got our next top five.
Joe. The next top five is top five fight scenes in a movie. Your top five movie fight scenes.
Top. This was a tough one. Don't forget, this is our top five, not the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that. Our and the.
I do enjoy, though, when a listener the next day brings up one I forgot about.
Me too.
And I'm like, fuck, dude, you're right. Yeah. No, you're right.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they do bring up some good ones.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's certain reasons I have to pick. Like, I need to pick one from, like, a comedic standpoint. I need to pick one from, like, you know, there's just a few different topics, not just overall greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But to start off, I'm going to start off strong and old school, any which way you can.
Oh.
The Clint Eastwood fucking one of the, any which way but loose and any which way you can. When he becomes a fighter, and then the word gets out at the very end of the movie. Word gets out because they decide to call the fight off, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up fighting, but only them two. And then first the nuns see, and then the two, like, whatever, the, you know, the two housewives see, and then the two frat boys see. And then they just start calling, and next, you know, the whole town's
The fight goes all the way through the town. They're like, yes. They fight their way through somebody's house, and then they're in a bar, and then they're in a butcher shop. I mean, it was a beautiful scene. It lasted like 15 minutes.
And the fight just kept going. And we're talking two fucking stand-up guys fight each other. It was a money deal. Remember the private jets turned around from the fucking little hillbilly town they were in or whatever? Yeah. The private jets that were taking the fight's on. The fight's on.
Because it had the little guy and the big guy, the brothers from Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey the Bandit brothers. But obviously the mom, the cops.
That whole movie. Like, it was funny. Yeah. It had great fight scenes.
A little romance.
I even liked the honky-tonk soundtrack.
Me too.
And then when the biker gang would come out after him, they'd play that every time the biker gang showed up. It was like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, they'd start with those slow pad-ups for the feet and shit. Oh, man, that's so good. The bad guy was like gay as shit. The villain in that movie, that villain biker, who was super gay. Oh, man, what a great film.
My first one's going to be... You know what? I'm going to start easy. I'm going to go Roadhouse. Just pick a scene. It had fight after fight after fight, but I think I prefer the fight.
What a pick by you.
I prefer the fight when he was fighting side by side by Sam Elliott, and they were taking on like all of Wade Garrett's men at once.
Yes.
And when Wade Garrett took out that giant 400-pound dude's knee. And
you want to fight? Well, I sure don't want to fuck you, or whatever he says.
Yeah.
No, well, whatever. I don't know what it is, but that's that great quote, that Wade Garrett quote.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Out back, you doing all right back here, mijo?
I love Sam Elliott in that movie.
Mijo. He hits with the mijo, dude.
And then
that movie's just
the throat rip. The throat rip at the end is pretty epic. Like, it's pretty classic. The throat rip.
Oh, the throat.
When he fights the one guy at the end, and then at the end he rips out his throat and holds it in his hand.
Yeah, Brad Wesley's number one guy.
Yeah.
But I used to, I used to be so much more just ballsy and just do whatever I wanted on social media before I started thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And got older and started thinking about what it is I'm doing, about what people think. But
well, that's
I used
a different
to do,
age.
Yeah, I used to do bad guy, but I used to do something called on a weekly basis. It was called like something to do with bad guy something or. Anyways, it was Brad Wesley. Brad Wesley was one of the best bad guys of all time. I should have put him under the villains list.
You're right.
You really pulled up a good one. Brad Wesley.
All right, what's your
name? Yeah,
next
but one? The throat shot was so good, bro. And also, right boot. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with my next one is the Rocky V street fight against Tommy. Come on, Tommy. You want a piece of me? And then they start playing the hip hop music, and then fucking Rocky sweeps him, hits him with that OG Philly special.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure anybody in Philly knows how to do anymore. I feel like they got lost after the movie. Like, no one really kept up the tradition of that fucking whatever that trip move was that Rocky. He does a trip move. Like Tommy comes running at him, and he does like this drop to the ground, but he catches his feet. And then Tommy goes flying down, and then he pops back up. That's all you got, Tommy.
Yo, Tommy, what are you doing? We're family.
We're brothers, Tommy. We're brothers.
We're not families, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Another great guy. Fucking who's the
Tommy Gunn?
No, the guy that puts the wedge in between them. The promoter.
Oh, Don King character. I forget who the guy is.
Touch me and I'll sue.
By the way, that fighter, Tommy Gunn, was a fucking...
Tommy Morrison.
Or Tommy Morrison.
Died of AIDS.
To play Tommy. Yeah, died of AIDS. Otherwise, he was the real fucking deal, Lucille.
He was a great white hype guy.
Three-way rhyme. All right, my guy...
That was nice by you, by the way. Right? I really want to put that on record. I do want to put on record that I'm really proud of you on that.
My next one is the naked bathhouse fight in Eastern Promises. And I know you haven't seen this, but
stop digging so deep.
Viggo Mortensen fights a dude in a bathhouse, both completely naked. Like his dick's flop. And Viggo Mortensen has a giant dick. And then so you can actually see it, the fight. And they're like fighting with knives. Around? They're going at the guy's coming at him with a knife, and I'm like, dude, your giant dick is all you're gonna like get in the way of the knife, and it's flopping there the whole time. But Viggo Mortensen, he's a stud in this movie, man. Beats the fuck out of him. Yeah, it's great.
That's a nice one.
It's one of those fights where you're like, that fight's a little too real. Like it makes you like uncomfortable because you're like, that's how street fights really happen. It's clumsy. Like people are breaking their bones on accident. Like,
there's you're tripping over things because you're not looking at the ground and there's a curb right there.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking rocks and potholes, all types of shit. Water.
Yep.
All right, my next one, which would be, I said, The Godfather. Whenever Sonny beats down his brother-in-law for hitting her, and he fucks her up, and he fucks home. I mean, listen, it's not extensive. It's just such a good ass. The way that he just takes over the block in the neighborhood there in New York. He pulls up in the car. He pulls off over. They come running out. They fucking jump out of the car. They see him. He goes running after him. The fucking fire hydrant water is spewing everywhere. The whole block is rounded up. And he's just kicking the shit out of this guy, taking the trash, that old metal trash can, and fucking busting him with it while he kicks him in the belly in the puddle of water. Don't you ever touch my sister again.
Love it.
Oh, God, what a scene. I love that. Sonny Godfather, you know?
It is a good scene. And that's going to take me to my next one, which is going to be Goodfellas when they fuck the dude up for making fun of Tommy for shining shoes. And they get
Billy Batts.
Just the De Niro stomp with the shoes.
Quick, the quick kicks.
He's got that tongue curl. He's like, I love that beatdown.
I'm going to go with the Kumite.
Oh, and
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport, yeah.
Yeah, going heads up all those different fights. You know, you got the American, you got that fight alone made me want to be a fighter for the rest of my life, hands down.
Frank Dukes was a real dude,
too. Dukes. Yeah.
You know,
all the way they cast all the different types of genres of martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Muay Thai guy, you had Chun-Li, the big dude, you know, you had the dude doing the capoeira. You had the one dude from like a Nigerian fight school.
Right.
There were just so many good ones. And the referee was fucking awesome. You got people jumping off his back. He would just hold tight. Then you got the blonde lady just fucking doing whatever she could do to get the story.
Oh, she had to get the story. Van Damme had that first fight against the Arab dude that he'd had a confrontation with at the bar the night before, and then they face up, and this dude's like, I'll show you some trick or two. And I was like, oh, God, the acting is phenomenal.
I love the fucking, Frankie!
The dude from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, fucking Booger.
Not Booger.
Booger was in the nerd house. You're right.
I'll think of it. All right. My next one is going to be the Bourne Ultimatum bathroom fight scene. Because when Jason Bourne gets trapped in the bathroom with that other Jason Bourne-like guy that's after to kill him, he ends up beating the fuck out of this dude with a cookbook. I watched it today over and over, and I'm like, what kind of book is that he fucks the dude up with? And it's an actual cooking book.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck you up with these recipes, homie.
Fucks him up with a cooking book and then fucking chokes him out on the toilet.
How did you get beat up? What did he hit you with? A pole?
Hit me with a fucking cooking book, bro.
A goddamn cookbook. Now, listen, there's just so many good ones. Snatch. I mean, you could go with Snatch all day.
Snatch is so
good. You could go with the Anchorman scene with all four fucking news crews go heads up. Classic. Wow, crossbow. That's aggressive. but I had to go with the Battle of Germania, Gladiator. You fight many wars. You fight Germania.
Oh,
I fight many wars. When the fucking single cover, they got the flames going with the archers, ignite.
Love it.
You got fucking Gladiator coming with the dog and hold. Hold, you know what I mean? I mean, you just, it's just so good. There's just so many good fights in Gladiator. you know, does anybody here have military experience? You know, like when he did that, when they're in the stadium later on, or whatever comes out those doors, we have a better chance staying together.
He was just schooling everybody. Yeah. And he's like, I got the toughest guy, the toughest guys on the planet right here. We got this. They just don't have any discipline. I'll show them how to fight, and then we're good.
You get in there, hire an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, and then you do your thing.
I'm going to end mine on the final fight from the movie Warrior when Tommy had to fight Brendan.
It's a big one for your group. For your age group. It was a big one.
No, the movie Warrior, the MMA movie.
Oh,
not Warriors.
The brothers fought.
Yeah, with Nick Nolte was their dad.
Yeah, dude, that was a fucking good one.
Bro. I fucking cry every time I watch that final scene. Because at the end, dude, he's got him in an arm bar. And then he's like, just tap, Tommy, just tap. And he fucking won't tap. And he's like, just tap. I'm going to have to break it. And then he breaks his arm. And then he's like crying. He's like, I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm sorry. Like, fucking, that was just, God. I'm like, stop.
Jesus, bro. You broke your brother's fucking arm. Man.
Brutal.
Those are some good ones, dude, you picked off there. But that one, Maximus, when he comes, that's when Marcus Aurelius rolls up. You're the pride and savior of Rome. I love the way Marcus Aurelius, have I missed it, father? Have I missed the battle? You've missed the war. Oh, man, dude. Something's never changed, Marcus. Have I missed it, father? Have I missed the battle? You've missed the war, Commodus. Fucking out. Fuck off.
That makes me want to watch it again tonight.
I know.
Is that house, it? Did we run through it?
My house smells of herbs in the fall, herbs in the spring, jasmine. I love what he's explaining his house.
Yeah. All right, that's it. All right, let's take it. This is my favorite segment. We do have a pretty kick-ass intro song for that, which is this.
All right, y'all. Let's hit those high notes.
Thank you, Cleveland Jackson, for that fucking drop. And this was a true, this came in, this was a true high note. It came from the herb. We were working last night, right?
Uh-huh.
And scrambling. And I made a typo, and because of that typo on a post, it made me realize, hey, we've never had a Cider Monday.
Oh,
sure, we've had Cyber Monday, but we've never had Cider Monday, which was confusing to me because apples were here way before computers, but then also Apple is like the industry standard now for computers. Uh-huh. So how ironic is it that Cyber Monday did come before Cider Monday?
I think it's
poetic. I put it all together in one set.
You know, listen, and if you're a bar owner, Cyber Mondays, put them into play right away. That's a move. That's a move right there.
20% off all ciders.
20% off all ciders every Monday. Right then and there.
Dude,
what are you guys doing tonight? We're going to fucking Johnny's Pub at Cider Monday.
I posted one of our fucking things and I had the hashtag Cider Monday on there. And I was like, what the fuck? How did I get Cider Monday? I had to take it down.
All right, here's my high note. Yesterday or today, I was in my truck. You know, I'm rolling down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I live with my lady now with her son. Well, her daughter goes to college, but she's home right now. And her son's, he's a senior in high school. So it's not like at my apartment where I can just roll a bong. I'm just ripping bong rips throughout the day in my house, you know?
Right.
Like, I stick smoking weed in my truck, which I don't mind. You know, I don't need to be rolling blunts all day or joints. Like, I take a couple of bowl rips, and I'm good to go for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ripping bowls in my car, and I was thinking to myself, how would I run wire? Like, if I needed to get internet somewhere quick or out, and I didn't want to run wire above ground, I need to make up a ground drone. Like, I connect fucking wires to the back of this drone, and in the front, you know, I control it with a phone or whatever, and it digs, but it knows that it goes a foot deep, and then it just starts going parallel with the ground. So it's like a foot in, you know, you could run wire from house to house or wherever you want to run it. You want to fucking run wire, ground drone, kid. Link it in, fucking bing. You put in all the calculations, how far you're going, what direction, blah, blah, blah. The app does it all because you just measure when you go over the ground.
Dude, we could have
go.
We could have ran gas to the fucking bar shed if we had one of those.
We could run a fucking hardwired the internet underground without having a wire that goes above the ground.
I fucking
and
love
so
this.
I get home and I tell my lady, I'm excited. I go, listen, babe, I know that, you know, I've been working in the entertainment field for a while and this is my go-to. Like, this is how it's either going to be make or break here. But I think there's a strong chance that I just came up with probably a $1 billion idea and we need to fucking figure it out. And it's called the ground drone. And
love
it's
it.
How you fucking connect wires and it digs like a little tunnel digger. And then it takes the wires where you want it to go. Then it pops up, so the wire's underground.
I fucking love this.
And then, like 2 minutes later, she's like, "Ooh, hey, smart guy, listen, they invented this about 4 years ago, and it's already a thing. 2017 and 19, there's ground drones.
Is there really?
Yes, they're fucking doing it already, dude.
These motherfuckers, I had no
Pieces
idea.
Of shit.
Fuck,
dude, I thought I was in.
I thought we was about to be billionaires.
Ground Great. Drone. I you know what? Listen, I'm going to check patent office. If it ain't fully in, I might make a move on it. So if you're listening, don't be fucking stealing my shit.
Yeah.
I know I just invented the wheel, but that's not the point.
Well, all we got to do is take their idea once the patent's up and make it better.
Hello.
And then we go worldwide.
Hello. And you better hope this doesn't become successful for us, guys. Because guess what? We might fucking tell this podcast to fuck right off. It's too much work.
We're in the ground drone
game.
In
the ground drone game now, dude. How about that?
Ground drones blazing. Fucking.
Oh, and also, real quick, can I squeeze this in?
Mm-hmm.
Just so everybody knows, anytime anybody says, dude, don't tell nobody, but everybody has the person they tell that they're not supposed to tell nobody. Everybody has a person.
It never works.
Don't tell nobody.
I also like it when it's kind of this.
Well, I can't tell nobody. We're also defensive. I can't say.
Why would I tell? I don't even know nobody.
Yeah, exactly who you're going to tell. The same motherfucker you tell every time someone says, don't tell nobody.
And then they tell the person that they tell that
exactly.
says, don't tell nobody.
Dude,
and
don't
then
tell nobody.
Before you know, you told everybody.
And that's how shit gets loose, dude. It's because everybody has one person that they tell shit that they're not supposed to tell nobody.
I like the person, it's kind of along the same lines, but the person like that'll come up to you and go, hey, can you keep a secret? Like, better than you can, evidently, because yeah, you're about to spill it.
That's how you get people to listen up, too, though. You go, hey, listen, don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
People are fucking what, dude? What's going on, bro? What's up? What's going on? I can say shit. I can say shit. If anybody does this face, I can say shit. They're going to say shit, dude. Look at me. When I look at the camera and I go, I ain't going to say shit.
Do you think that
I'm
going to
say some shit.
You think this ever happens like in the office of like the Pentagon or the CIA? Do you think people in there even have to be like, hey, don't tell nobody. Like we both work for the CIA.
But also, like wait. I am. We tell
we're spies. What would I tell?
Fuck am I going to do?
But then that spy tells another spy and that spy tells another spy.
But then there's also times when someone tells you something about somebody, you have no idea who the fuck they are or what they are up to, and you have zero connection whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you the warning. They're like, listen, I know you're not going to say shit, dude, but don't tell nobody. You're like, dude, you're not telling what? Because there is a fine line. Because sometimes people tell you shit that you don't give a flying fuck about that has no real juice or tea.
Yeah.
And it's about some people and things that have nothing to do with you. You don't know. I have no connections, no nothing. And you don't know them. So you almost question people. You're like, huh? Look, I know you're not going to say nothing, but dude, don't say nothing, okay? But look, don't tell nobody. I know you're not going to say shit. But I know you're not going to say shit. Like, who am I? I don't even know. I don't even know these people. Because then you're like, why are you going to tell me don't say nobody? Don't tell nobody. Like,
yeah.
Who am I going to tell?
It's don't even hold
there,
it.
There's
and I'm not vested
versions.
In it. I'm not even invested in it. I might tell people out of spite.
You don't even know your boss or his people.
Mm-hmm. First thing I'm going to do is go, listen to what Sean's boss did.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, as soon as I get to the bar, and fucking, it's off. All right.
Boom.
Let's close it out on this week's mission.
What's the mission, Ty? Hit us.
From now on, I want people to listen to this to know. I think these should come. Sean and I talked about it. We think these should come from you guys. So DM us. DM the Ag Guns Blazing Pod account and send us a mission for next Tuesday. We do these segments. This run, the top five and high notes and this week's mission all on Tuesdays right now. Thursdays, yeah, we run a little more loose. We're just trying it out. We might change that up here shortly.
You're having a good time. Trying to live, guys.
But you guys send us a mission, and we'll accept it, and then we'll solve whatever the riddle is.
I'm ready to solve some shit.
All right. So this week's mission, Sean, is a very simple, easy one. It is to end racism. All you got to do is end racism.
That's it.
How you doing it? Yeah, that's it.
I'll be right back. BRB, dude. I'll be right back. I'm ready to end that shit.
How would you end racism in America?
Okay. We answer this on the next episode?
Is it better for the next episode?
Well, we're answering it now.
Let's answer it now. Let's close it out.
All right, listen. Here's how you do it. You just I don't know. You might have to just take the whole country, you need to get someone really, really strong. And they take the planet, right? And they shake it up. And they just shake it up. And that's it. And where everybody lands, they land. Like, you got to be really fucking strong, right? And then wherever they land, they land. So, you know, that's it. Because I'll tell you what, California is a very big mixture of people, and I know there's still racism there, but there's a lot less.
Sure.
And that's because everybody's already there. So I grew up I had white friends, black friends, Indian friends, Mexican friends. Everybody was at school. Everybody was there. It was no big deal. It's just how it is. There wasn't like one dude that was one thing and then everybody else was the other.
I love
it. And then his family didn't do things the right way. Like, that's how I'm doing it.
All right.
You're a really strong person to take the planet and just give it a fucking shake. If you have people you love, hold on tight.
It's almost like Yahtzee. You just shaking the cup.
We have to Yahtzee the planet.
I love it. All right. Mine's a 20-year plan. I'm not trying to try to get anything done to it. It's a 20-year plan. Next 20 years, I'm going to make it against the law for white people to have sex with each other. That's it.
That's a good one.
If you're a white person, you're not allowed to have sex with another white person. Unless you're gay. If you're gay, you can have sex with another. If you're a gay man, you can have sex with another gay white guy.
Zero reproductivity.
If you're opposite sex, there's no straight opposite sex white sex anymore.
Okay, no more straight Anglo-Saxon.
Only one of you can
Saxon.
Be yes. Only one of you, only one Anglo-Saxon. That's it.
Okay. I like
and
that.
Then in 20 years, there's no more white anymore.
And then we're all gonna be racist. And that's where I rise up to the occasion.
Love it.
Because I am the future, Todd.
You are the future.
I stand like this, I am this, and I look like that. You know what I mean? That's the key to that's the key to ending racism is that we all need to be sound like this. I look like this. And I, what was the other one? I
look like that. Sound like this, look like that, but I act like this.
I don't know. I said it the
something
first
like
time.
That.
I was right. So someone clipped that.
Whatever you said first time, that.
Yes, that's what it was. Whatever I said the first time.
All right. I think we did it. I mean, all we got to do is utilize any of those two things. Sean's is a quicker fix. It's like right now, strongest guy in the universe shakes us real quick. Boom. There's no more.
Just takes the planet, shakes it around. Everybody's fucking up.
Mine's more of a 20 slow years, we're good. We're just affecting future generations.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Two good plans. We got one for the immediate future, one for the 20 years from now future. There we go. We cover for both angles, bro. We're so fucking good at missions.
Dude, there's a strong chance that we solve all the problems of the planet before this is over, dude.
Hey, no doubt.
I say before episode 100, we cut the deficit by a couple trill. We bring down the violent statistics by 15-20%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're gonna really start making a difference. New York how to clean up trash properly so there are not mountains of trash in the streets.
Nice. By the way, people of LA County, sorry, I know you just got locked the fuck down, can't leave your houses, but it'll all be over soon. The governor was partying the whole time. There's so many glass houses there.
I know.
And so many stones. That's all I got to
say. Love you guys, man.
We love you all. Just a reminder, please rate and review. If you love us, spread the word. And then
share this shit, please.
Share, rate and review. Check out the merch store, gunsblazingpodcast.com. See if there's something you like. If there is, buy it. We're out.